call, number one, is to evangelize, proclaim the gospel. That's the reason we exist as a body of Christ here. We are to evangelize. We are to proclaim the gospel. It's our job to tell people about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's our job to say the only way to be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's our job to tell our families, our friends, our co-workers, strangers in the street. It's our job to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are sinners and without Jesus Christ we're going to hell. But the only way to go to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right, our second task, the next second call, is to edify, using your spiritual gifts to help others grow in God. We talked about this last week, but God has gifted every single one of His children with a spiritual gift, more than one spiritual gift. It's a mixture of all the gifts, but God has gifted every one of His children with a spiritual gift. And then He has then called you to use that spiritual gift to edify, to lift up, to encourage, to help others grow in God. All right? The third call is to affect society, showing the light by being the light. Remember, we don't minister in here. We minister out there. You come here to worship God. You come here to hear His word. You come here to sing praises to Him. You come to lift up your voice and to tell Him thank you and to praise Him publicly. And then you go out and be the church. You be the church in the schools. You be the church in the society. You be the church in the stores. You be the church at home. You be God's representative, ambassador, everywhere you go. That is His call, not just to Victory Baptist Church, but to every Bible-believing Christian. That is our mission statement right there. People have asked, well, what's your mission statement? There it is. Evangelize, edify, and affect society. That's why we exist. Last week, we began then to look at the foundations that God has established us. All right? So, number one, Brother Terry, if you would hit the next slide for me. Number one, the first foundation is to love each other with abandon. We are to love one another with abandon. Just to continue to give ourselves one to another. Love each other. Go out of your way to show your love for each other. The second is to minister to one another. Find ways to be a blessing to one another. Find ways to serve one another. Find ways to use your spiritual gifts to lift other people and to show them Jesus Christ. The third call is to stand with those who cannot stand alone. Stand with those who cannot stand alone. We talked about those last week, and you got the notes, and if not, you've got the scripture verses up there. I'll leave them for just a minute or so more. I want you to write those down. But we got to understand, brothers and sisters, this is not a social club. This is not just a gathering to make us feel better. This is not just a situation where we come here and we greet one another and we judge what people are wearing and we talk about who's here and who's not here. No, that's not the reason we gather here. We gather here to worship God together as a corporate body of believers and to do these things, to love, to minister, and to stand with. Those are three of the eight foundations that we want to discover here in the book of Hebrews. Now I want to introduce you this morning to the fourth one. To the fourth one. Dependence on God for protection. It's amazing, Miss Sherry, that that song you sang goes right along with what God has for us this morning. It didn't plan that way, but God planned it that way. Dependence on God for protection. In other words, dependence on God for everything. I stood this morning as I was getting ready to come in and standing in the shower and praying, and I said, God, thank you for my breath. God, thank you for the blood coursing through my body. Thank you, God, for the next moment. Thank you, God, for the next hour. Thank you, God, for the next day. Thank you, God, that I have a right mind in most times. Thank you, Father, that I have health. Thank you, Father, for my family. Thank you, Father, for my food. Thank you, Father, for the clothing. Thank you, God, for life itself and for your Son, Jesus Christ. Because without Him, we have nothing, brothers and sisters. We've got to depend on Him for everything, for protection. It's God and God alone. You don't do these things on your own. You can't survive on your own. You have no strength on your own. It's got to be God and God alone. And I'm so glad that God loves us so much that He wants to take care of us. Amen?
How many of you want to be taken care of? Amen. How many of you want God to meet your every need? How many of you want to be so helpless that it's got to be God that takes care of it? So not as many hands. See, that's the problem. We think we just need to call upon God when we get into a tough spot. We just need to call upon God when we get to a situation that we can't find the answer for. No, we need to call upon God all the time. We need to call upon God when the moment we wake up. We need to call upon God for the moment that we go to sleep. We need to call upon God for everything. I had somebody ask me one time, Brother Brian, do you think that it's strange that I ask God to help me find my keys? And I said, no, I do it every day. There's no such thing as a minor prayer. There's no such thing as a prayer God doesn't care about. If He cares about the very numbers of hair on your head, and He cares about the sparrow, and He cares about the flowers, don't you think He cares about the very little things in your life too? There's no such thing as a little thing to God. He cares. And the important thing is to remember this. Without Him, we have nothing. But with Him, we have everything. We have everything. So look here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, but we're going to concentrate on verse number 6 particularly. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now we'll cover this verse later on. And be content with such things as you have, for He, God, hath said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now verse number 6. Because of that, we may boldly say. I love that word boldly. It doesn't necessarily mean loudly, which it can mean. It means with supreme confidence. With supreme confidence. Matter of fact, when you get in your car this afternoon, when you finally leave at about 3 o'clock today, when you're actually able to leave, you have supreme confidence that your car will turn over. You say, now, well, how do you know that? I don't see any of you walking out of here and going to your vehicle and popping the hood and checking to make sure everything runs. No, you just get in and you turn it over because you expect it to happen. Brothers and sisters, why do you expect it to happen? Because it's taken place before. It hasn't failed you. Now, in some cases it has failed us at times, but it hasn't failed you. It's even better with God. We can boldly proclaim that He's going to take care of us. We can boldly proclaim because He has in the past, because He's doing it right now, and He's going to do it in the future. But how can we boldly proclaim that? Look what it says. We may boldly say, and this is what we can say, the Lord is my helper. And we're going to explain that word to you in just a second. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Underline that. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm about sick of this fear-mongering going on, aren't you? How many of you are sick and tired of hearing political ads and hearing all these threats made by this group and that group and all these threats doing this and that? I am sick and tired. It's trying to make people be afraid. It's making people be afraid to leave their homes. It's making people be afraid to go out in society. It's making people be afraid to make any kind of decisions. Fear is a liar. It is. And I'm sick and tired of people being afraid. Now, we need to be sensible about what we do. We need to take caution and care as God gives us the sensibilities to do that. But brothers and sisters, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no reason to fear. He says, we may boldly say, confidently say, the Lord is my helper. The word helper means someone who comes alongside you and takes care of your every need. I love that poem, Footsteps. And when I first got saved, I fell in love with that poem and I loved it and everything else. But then I really realized that it's not theologically correct. It's a beautiful poem. And it talks about looking at the beach and the guy's having a dream and talking to the Lord. And it talks about the two sets of footsteps, and then suddenly there's one set of footsteps. And he says, God, why the one set of footsteps? And Jesus says, hey, it's because that's when I picked you up. Brothers and sisters, there isn't two set of footsteps ever. It's only one, because Jesus is carrying us the whole time. By implying that he's my help means that I can do it without him. I can't do anything without God. There's not a single thing that I'm able to do without God. Now, I've tried many a time. I've tried to be a husband on my own. I've tried to be a father on my own. I've tried to be a man. I've tried to be a pastor. I've tried to be a preacher on my own. And I might have succeeded as far as the flesh goes, but there's been no spiritual blessing in it. But when I have totally depended upon God to be what God wants me to be, that's where the blessing comes from. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. You don't have to do it alone. If you belong to God, he is the one that will carry you. He is the one that's going to protect you. He's the one that's going to take care of you. It's got to be God. And without God, you have nothing. But with God, you have everything. Can I get an amen? Can I get somebody to wave a hanky? See, brothers and sisters, it's not human strength. As much as you've been told and taught, big boys don't cry. Real men don't cry. Be a big boy. Be a tough girl. Don't let them see who you really are. Listen to me. God knows. He knows what you're dealing with at this very moment. He knows the attacks that are coming upon you spiritually and physically. He knows the depression that some of you deal with. He knows with the loneliness and the scared attitude. He knows all those things about you. Stop trying to depend upon yourself. Stop trying to fool God and say, well, God, nothing's wrong. Brothers and sisters, everything is wrong when we do it on our own. But nothing is wrong when we trust the Lord. Dependence on God. So I want to give you several verses this morning. I've got them sitting up there. I want you to write them down. We're going to look at several verses this morning and go through them really quick. And I want you to follow along our dependence on God. So we're going to start in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, it's way back in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31, verse number 6. If you don't want to turn there, you can just write it down, and we'll get to one you can turn to in just a second. If you want to skip Deuteronomy and go to Psalms, that's fine. But Deuteronomy 31, verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. Why? Fear not. Why? Nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, there he is, thy God, personal God, underline that right there. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He will go with you and he will not fail you and he will not forsake you. We've all been failed by human beings. Every single one of us in this room and every single person listening to the sound of my voice has been failed by a fellow human being at one time or another. A relative, a friend, a teacher, a counselor, a pastor, whatever. We've all been failed by a human being. We all have. But brothers and sisters, God will never fail you. He'll never abandon you. He'll never forsake you. And believe me, we deserve to be forsaken. We really do. Honestly, think about it. God deserves, or you deserve to be God forsaking you. You do. But I thank God he has never done it. I introduced my wife to a classic movie this weekend. She had never seen it before. How many of you have ever seen High Noon? Some of you are saying, High Noon? It was in black and white. That's how old it was. But the main song is, do not forsake me, oh my darling. Praise God, he'll never forsake. And I didn't sing it to my wife because she would have forsook the room at the moment. But God does not ever forsake us. Praise God for that. And it says he will go with us. He'll go with us where? Where will God go with us? Amen. He goes with us in the scary parts. He goes with us to situations we don't want to go. He goes with us in places that we're unfamiliar with. He goes with us in places we are familiar with. He goes with us everywhere. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, God goes with you everywhere. There's never a time God's not with you. So when we pray, God be with so-and-so, really, we're not really praying anything because God's with them already. He's not going to leave or forsake us ever. All right? Look at the next one. Go to Psalms. These are in no particular order other than just going in chronological. Psalm 37. 27, I'm sorry. Psalm 27. Thank you for catching me. Psalm 27, number 1, it says this. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God's my light and my salvation, who have I got to be afraid of? I ain't scared. What? I ain't scared, for those of you who aren't using that vernacular. I'm not afraid because God is my light and my salvation. He's my strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid of? Absolutely nobody. Go to Psalm 37 now. Psalm 37. Now I want you to write these down because guess what? There's going to come a time where you're scared. There's going to come a time when you're unsure. There's going to come a time when you run across somebody who's dealing with this and you take them to the Scriptures. Psalm 37 verse 5 or 25, I'm sorry. It says this, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David wrote this psalm and he says, listen, I've been a young man and now I'm an old man, but I have yet to see when God has ever forsaken anybody. Wow. He says, I've never seen it. And if there's anybody that deserved to be forsaken, it was King David. If there's anybody that deserved for God to give up, it was King David. But I praise God, he didn't give up on him. And if he didn't give up on King David, do you think he'll give up on us? No. Praise God for that. All right, look at the next one, Psalm 54, 4. Psalm 54, 4. The psalmist writes, he says, behold, pay attention, reckon this. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He says, in other words, God is taking care of me. God is helping me. But then it says that God blesses them that cheer me up. God blesses them that cheer me up. God blesses those that uphold my soul. Guess what? God blesses you when you help other people. God blesses you when you come alongside somebody else and say, let me lift you up. God blesses you when you come alongside, let me be a blessing to you. Now, here's the thing. Some of us are so stubborn that we won't let other people bless us. Hey, can I help you? No, I've got it. Your leg is hanging half off and it's about to fall off. Can I help you? No, I got this. Hey, listen, I know you've been sick and I know you, can we help you? No, we don't need any help. We got this. Brothers and sisters, you're letting somebody miss out on a blessing that God has for them. We're to help and love one another. But no, we're in the mountains and we live here. Everybody's independent and everybody can do things on their own. Bless God. There's nothing but P-R-I-D-E in that statement. Pride. You know what? You're not the only one in this room didn't know how to spell that word. Pride. The number one sin is pride. When you let people be, now I'm not saying when you drop a piece of paper, you call somebody up, oh, come help me pick it up. That's not what I'm talking about. But brothers and sisters, we need to be a blessing one to another. And when we are, God blesses the blesser that's being blessed by the blesser. Amen. All right, look at the next psalm. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse number 6, it says this. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Have you ever been troubled before? Whew. How about yesterday? Corey, I can see that, brother. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and then it says this, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He's our deliverer, Miss Sherry. He's our deliverer out of our distresses. He's our deliverer. All right, go to Psalm 118 now. Psalm 118, verse number 6. The Lord is on my side. President Lincoln was approached and said, whose side do you think God is on? And he says, I hope he's on my side because I sure want to be on his side. They were trying to get him to say if he was on the northern side or the southern side. Brothers and sisters, God's above all of that. God is on the side of those who trust and depend upon him. Regardless of any other circumstances and regardless of what we decide is dividing of people. If you belong to God, God belongs to you. God is on my side. I will not fear. Why? What man can do unto me. I'm not going to fear. Because God's on my side. God's on my side. Go to Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. Matthew 10, 28. Now I'm taking you to Scripture. I'm not giving you things I'm coming up with. I'm not giving you little stories and poems. I'm giving you what Scripture says here. Matthew 10, 28. The very words of Jesus. Here's what he said. And fear not them which kill the body, but they are not able to kill the soul. So there's going to be people who are going to threaten you physically. There's going to be people who try to hurt you and harm you physically. And they might be able to do those things, but they can't do anything about your soul. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. He says, don't worry about what man can do, because man can threaten you all they want. Man can try to take away everything that you have. Man can try to kill you physically. But brothers and sisters, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, man can't touch your soul. Come on, let me get an amen there. Amen. Man can hurt you, but he can't touch your soul. God is the only one. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Now go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage right here. But this is something that some of you need to memorize. All of us need to memorize, but some of you particularly right now, you're dealing with some things. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I love that, us all, those who belong to him. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be threatened. We're going to be accused. We're going to be made fun of. We're going to be persecuted. But when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, nothing that God doesn't allow won't take place. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. The authority of the Word of God right there. Go to Philippians 1:28. Philippians 1:28. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. You don't have to be terrified of your adversaries. Now you say, Brother Brian, who's my adversary? Are the Democrats my adversary? Are the Republicans my adversary? Are the Muslims? Are the Buddhists? Are you name it? Are they my adversary? Absolutely not, Scott. That's what you said this morning. Those aren't our adversaries. Those aren't our enemies. The only enemy we have is Satan. But it says that we don't have to be terrified by him. Why is that? Because we have God on our side. Is God weaker than Satan? Absolutely not. Exactly right, brother. He's been to Bible college. If God be for us, who can be against us? One more verse. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 18. It says, for in that he, speaking of Jesus, for that in he himself hath suffered being tempted. In other words, he dealt with being tempted. He didn't fail, but he dealt with being tempted. He is able to succor or help them that are tempted. When the temptation comes, and it's going to come, when the trials come, and they're going to come, who are you going to run to for refuge? You're not going to run to somebody who hadn't been through what you've been through. You're going to run to somebody who's been there. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. So tomorrow, or maybe this afternoon, when the trials and temptations come, when the trial and the temptation to give up, when the trial and temptation to leave your family, when the trial is a temptation to end your life, when the trial or temptation is to quit, when the trial and temptation is whatever, and when it comes, don't face it alone. Go to God and say, oh God, I need you. You are my strength. You are my hope. You are God and God alone. Brothers and sisters, dependence on God for everything. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our fortress. You are our defender. You are the one who has saved our soul. You are the one who loves us. You are the fantastic one. You are the creator. You are the lover of our souls. You are the one in total control. There is no one like you. And I'm praying, God, for these precious folks at this very moment in this room and those who are listening to my voice who are being tempted and tried, who are scared and who are fearful of everything. I'm asking you, God, you encourage them right now. You strengthen them in you. That, God, you would be glorified. And, Father, may we walk with you on a daily basis. May we trust you. And may we stop trying to do things on our own. And may we trust you to walk with us and to carry us through all these things. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Our dependence on God. Our dependence on God. So Grace, if you'll come in. our dependence on God. So let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Melissa, you've got that for me. I appreciate you all being here this morning. We were going to have a baptism, but family members weren't able to get in town yet. And so, Nate, we're going to wait till the coldest part of winter to baptize you. All right? All right? We're still going to do Deep Creek, okay? But as soon as your great-grandma, as soon as your great-grandma, it's his great-grandmother, right? Is it great-grandmother getting here? Yes, because it's 96. 96. They're waiting for her to be able to get up here from Pensacola. And so she gets up and she wants to see him baptized. So we're going to wait for her to get up here. And so I'm hoping she picks December. Amen. And so we're looking forward to doing that. Now, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. Many of you know, of course, Miss Sharon passed away. And it's been a very trying time for all of us, especially Brother Dave, but everybody. And so Miss Reva stepped in. She has been a blessing to Tanner and I. Whew. We don't have the time to share all she's been doing and will continue to do. She's volunteered to do this and to help us. And she has been there for us. And I really greatly appreciate her. Ms. Reva, we love you and we appreciate you. We're going to hire someone to come in eventually to do it more part-time, but she's really helped us a lot of things. And so we, Tanner and I, have gotten her a card and a small gift from the church and our appreciation to you for what you have done and what you continue. Let's give Ms. Reva a hand this morning. There's no way that anybody could ever replace Ms. Sharon. It can't happen and it won't happen. But I appreciate Ms. Reeve and I appreciate others who have stepped up and said, hey, we'll do whatever we need to do to get us through this. And she keeps me and Tanner in line, too. She really does. And I appreciate she. We need that. We need that. And so we really appreciate you, Ms. Reeve, and we love you very, very much. We really do. And so we'll be dismissed in prayer this morning. And Brother Scott, I appreciate you giving us the reports every Sunday. Would you please dismiss us in prayer today?
Outside work, if you're prepared to give that offering, take your envelope and write on it.